in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans? This is a contemplative day, a difficult day, I think, for a lot of us who, you know, love more than anything the NCAA tournament, love March Madness, and just overall the effect that the coronavirus and the way that it's being handled affects the day-to-day lives of not only the student-athletes, but the coaches, the support staff, the arena staff. This is a bigger economic deal than just not being able to watch those games. And we're, of course, talking about the fact that if you haven't been, you know, living under a rock, the NCAA March Madness NCAA tournament has been canceled, not suspended, not postponed, but outright canceled, meaning that the last time that you will get to see, you will get to see this version of North Dakota State play is that dominant performance on Tuesday night. And we'll get to that. We're going to break down the whole Summit League tournament for you. But the lasting memory of this team will not be losing as a 15 seed or maybe making a little Cinderella run in the tournament. It's just going to be standing on that podium in Sioux Falls. And Nate, how are we doing with all this, buddy?
A little bit devastated. I mean, I shouldn't say a little bit. I'm completely devastated. You watch college basketball. You watch a team grow. You love sports, whether it's basketball, football, and not only is it the NCAA tournament, I mean, sports are just completely being put on hold, and guys like me and you whose lives pretty much revolve around sports and you're watching some type of sport every night, it's going to be a different change of pace for our lives. And like you said, it's an economic type thing too, where stadium workers, arena workers aren't getting paid. I mean, that's in all these leagues. And I really feel for those senior players who, especially at the mid-major level, I mean, a lot of those kids usually get four cracks at it, some two, but usually one or two years where your team is legitimately, if you're lucky, have that chance to make that run at that, winning that conference tournament, to have your chance to see your name on Selection Sunday and be able to play in front of a 20,000-30,000 seat arena and have everyone rooting for you as the underdog. And I know NDSU was there last year, but there's teams that are making an appearance that probably have senior players that this is their one shot, and they're not going to get that shot. So it's a little bit devastating for those players, and hurts to see that. Guys like Marcus Howard, Peyton Pritchard, Miles Powell, guys who are great individual players, Cassius Winston, we don't get to see him in March Madness, and those are players that we were just looking forward to seeing, and unfortunately we don't get to.
Yeah, makes me even the more grateful, and I mentioned this to somebody on the NDSU staff, makes me even more grateful for last year's run. What a incredible thing that was. And it's, you know, cool that everybody came back. Obviously incredible that they won the Summit League tournament again, and we're headed to the big dance. But the fact that those guys still have, that to hold on to is awesome to me. I mean, it's so cool to me that Vinny Shaheed and Tyson Ward, Jared Samuelson, those kids have, an NCAA tournament victory, and that those kids, got to, you know, face down Duke for at least the first 20 minutes of that game, because that this opportunity has been taken away from them. And the fact that they still have that those moments from their junior year, I think is really, really cool and really, really special.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are just unbelievable character guys, and you could see just Tyson growing, and Vinny, obviously, it took him a couple games, not quite half the year last year, but, I mean, what a leader he was. Jared comes in as a walk-on and just works his tail off and turns into just one of the better knockdown shooters that we've had, and just a solid player who's going to do whatever it takes to win. And obviously Chris came in as a JUCO kid, and he had a small role, and he did it to the best of his ability. And just, I'm glad that they got to experience the tournament. They made us all proud, and I wanted to see him give someone a run this year, because a 15 or 14 seed, with the experience of last year, I think they were going to give someone a scare, and they were going to have one of those high majors full attention.
For sure. No, and especially you see a year like this in college basketball where, you know, I felt like this was going to be an incredibly wide open version of March Madness. I didn't think that there were a ton of super super high level teams. I didn't think that there were a lot of really, really scary teams in college basketball. That's, I think, why you saw, like a Dayton be a legitimate number one seed conversation team, as well as San Diego State. Same thing. You saw these teams being really, truly in the conversation for the top of the top of the top of college basketball. And, you know, that is to say that what if North Dakota State got a matchup with a Dayton or with a Creighton, or with, you know, even a Florida State might have been an issue because of their length. But this is a team where, especially after that Boston University upset, could have been on the 14 line and scaring the absolute bejesus out of a three seed. I mean, it could have been a ton of fun.
Yeah, I mean, even the other 14 seeds, I mean, do you think those three seeds want to play Bradley or UC Irvine? I mean, Bradley's in the Missouri Valley, and Irvine beat Kansas State last year. There were just a lot of really good mid-majors in that 13, 14, 15 line that I don't think anyone wanted to see. I mean, Northern Kentucky would have been a 15 seed. No one wants to see them. It's unfortunate because I think there was a lot of really good teams in college basketball this year. I don't think there were any just absolute teams that were going to, okay, they're going to the Final Four. No one's really going to get in their way. I think Kansas was the closest thing to that just because of their guard play and having Azubuike at the rim. But I think it would have been a really interesting tournament. It wouldn't surprise me if you see a double-digit seed again go Elite Eight, Final Four type thing. But unfortunately, we're not going to see that happen. And I think this was going to be one of the more fun years just because of the parity in college basketball.
For sure. So, you know, with that, we would like to crown North Dakota State as co-national champions. I feel like that's fair.
Yes. The first school's first national championship. Not only in football now, but we have one in basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. They are T-68, and that's hang the banner. Hang the banner for the national title. So let's go back in time a little bit and talk about this tremendous achievement, because the fact that these kids aren't going to the big dance doesn't, I don't think, take anything away from truly what they were able to accomplish down in Sioux Falls. Again, and I'm going to get on my David Richmond soapbox in a little bit, but right now let's just kind of break things down. And man, as Coach Richmond pointed out to me, we've got a really cool, about a 15-minute chat between Coach and I in his office that we'll be dropping for you guys at Bison Report later today. We've got that coming for you. He mentioned it's actually the fourth straight year that the eighth seed has given the one problems. And was just about the second straight year that the eighth seed took home the whole thing, or took home the first round matchup. I was certainly talking about, or thinking about at least, ways to get back home after, you know, about 36 minutes, 32 minutes of gameplay there on Saturday. Nate, what was running through your head in that showdown with Denver in the 1-8? And why do you think this keeps happening?
You know, Denver was playing with nothing to lose. And I don't know if I talked about it with Keith or I talked about it with you, but I mean, if you're playing with nothing to lose and it's March and you're playing like your season's on the line, NDSU had all the pressure on them. I mean, they're the one seed. They're the co-champs of the regular season. And they were in the tournament last year, and all the pressure's on them to go back. So I think it was a little bit of nerves, kind of plan not to lose. And sometimes that can come back and bite you. And Townsend and Murky were two really good scorers. Robert Jones had an unbelievable game. He's only a freshman. He's going to be pretty good for them next year. But you just got to find a way to grind those ones out. And being down six with 4 minutes left, I mean, that was kind of put up or shut up time. They had to get stops. They had to find ways to get scores when shots weren't falling that well. In the end, I think it was 63-57 Denver was up. So, I mean, defensively, that's a good enough effort to win games. So it was just about finding a way. And they did a great job of getting to the basket and getting to the free throw line and knocking those down in that first game.
Absolutely. The free throw shooting came up huge. Our boy Sammy Hoops, you know, the all-tournament team Sammy Hoops, needs to spend some time in the gym getting shots up and getting free throws up, because that was some terrifying stuff with about 4.5 minutes left, missing the front end of 2 1-and-1s. As I've mentioned before, I kind of wish that would be counted as a turnover, because that's ultimately what it is. But on the flip side, Sam Griesel, specifically against Denver, is a player I want to touch on, because he's a guy that, you know, we've mentioned as one of the better players on the team, a guy that we've mentioned as a key talent, a guy that, you know, I think that some of the fans that maybe don't understand the game as well, or some of the fans that want to poo-poo what, you know, Richmond has accomplished, what the basketball team is doing, Sam Griesel is a phenomenal basketball player. And just because he's not, you know, Mike Dom and averaging 24 and 12 doesn't mean that he's not a phenomenal basketball player. Sam Griesel made so many winning plays, whether it was getting a steal or blocking a shot, playing center at 6'6" so they could go small and combat some of the things that Robert Jones was doing, a tip out on the offensive boards, crashing the defensive glass. He made so many winning basketball plays against Denver and then just continued to do that. And I think the future is extremely bright for a kid that's got 2 years left in the program, but has really already given two, you know, career worthy performances down in Sioux Falls, because he was an absolute monster during last year's run as a true freshman as well.
Yeah. Sam really came along. I think we talked about towards the end of the year, he just was getting he was getting way more comfortable after that injury, which was unfortunate when it happened. But he's just got a weird part to his game where he can impact a game in so many ways. And we didn't really need him to score. And I think that the coaching staff and he can develop that type of mentality in the offseason. He has a great body. He has great athleticism, great size. He can take you on the perimeter. He can take you in the post. I mean, he kind of reminds me of, if they want to turn him into a Tyson Ward type, a little less athletic Tyson Ward type player, I think that's what he can turn into. And I think he's even a little bit taller than Tyson. But the like you said, those are winning plays. I mean, those offensive rebounds, the block shots, the getting on the floor for a loose ball, those are the little things that, like, yeah, you can get it instilled in their head that they got to play hard, but that's a personal thing. That's just something you either have or you don't, and that's something that Sam has that can't really be taken away from him. So I think skill development this offseason is going to be really big for him. If he can get a consistent jumper from three, it's only going to make him driving to the basket and posting up and impacting the game from a scoring perspective next year.
Yeah, I think, like I said, get shots up. And not that he doesn't already get shots up. He's a hard worker. That's not what I'm saying. But the ability to knock down that three, he hit some monster threes in this tournament, in this Summit League tournament. But his ability to hit that shot consistently and also to get back up into the 70s at the free throw line is going to make him such a versatile player, because he does stress teams as a four. You look at contemporary matchups for him, you know, with a Keenan Walter, you know, or that level of player, that level of defender on, they can't stay in front of him. And that's, he's going to give every four in the Summit League that problem. His ability to kind of make those weird herky jerky shots down low, at some point, if they keep falling, that's a skill. You know, maybe it doesn't always have to look pretty, but the ability to hit that 24-foot jumper as well as cash in at the free throw line is going to take a very athletic, very smart kid to that next level. And I'm really excited to see Sam kind of move into that leadership role on next year's squad. Moving forward into Monday, and I think the game that gave everybody the most concern, which was that matchup with Oral Roberts, because of their length, because of the fact that NDSU was missing one of the more athletic, longer guys in the 6'6" Tyree Edie or 6'5" Tyree Edie. I feel like if there was any game that people were a little bit nervous about, it was that Oral Roberts game. How were you feeling going into that one, Nate?
You know, Tyree would have been a big piece in that game. I mean, his strength would have helped them down low. But I thought Rocky did an unbelievable job defensively that game on Nezakwezi. Held him to 2 points on like 1 of 10 shooting. I mean, he was completely taken out of the game. He was even on the bench, I think, the last 3-4 minutes. Like, they didn't even put him in the game. And they kind of force-fed him early on, thinking if they get Rocky in foul trouble, we're either going to play a backup post or we're going to go small, and then they'll be able to take advantage even more. But Rocky did an unreal job defending him, not fouling, was able to play as many minutes as they needed him to play. And then NDSU did end up going small later in the game, and I think it made Oral Roberts kind of force feed inside even more and kind of took away from Burns and Asmus on the perimeter. But O'Banner had a great game. I mean, they have four guys who can really score the ball on any given night. They just could never really get all of them to play on the same page on the same night. I mean, O'Banner has 27, and then Burns goes 6 for 16 to get his 13, and Asmus has 2, and Nezakwezi has 2. I mean, if they could have got we kind of talk about it with NDSU, if we could have got that third guy with Ward and Shahid, that's what helped us win games. They never seemed to be able to get that third scorer, and they had 4 of them that were pretty
good. And Fukwe was
– yeah, he had a great game too.
Out of his mind, you know, and I will laugh about – I'm on Oral Roberts' site right now. They're listing R.J. Fukwe at 5'11". If R.J. Fukwe is 5'11", I'm 6'3". That's just not – that's not the case. And congratulations, Nate. You're also in the 6-foot club.
I definitely am about 6'2" or 6'3" then.
But it's a scary club. Even in the future, they do lose Nzekwesi, Burns, and Kearns. But bringing back Amos, bringing back O'Banner, bringing back Fukwe, it's a team that's not, you're not going to be able to take lightly moving forward. And I think you and I should do, not this pod because we just don't have the time, but we should do kind of a move forward as far as what we think the Summit League might look like next year, because there were some major players that were lost. I think the easy route, obviously, is just to say, oh boy, South Dakota State's going to be really good, because they are. There's no getting around that. Obviously, this is mid-major basketball. Noah Friedel could transfer tomorrow, but as far as what it looks like they've got coming back right now, it's pretty serious stuff. Doug Wilson was the player of the year. We don't, Nate and I don't necessarily agree with that, but it is a fact. But Brandon Key, who played very sparingly, is their only senior. They're bringing back Alu Dillon, who was a promising big. Obviously bringing back Matt Dentlinger for 2 more years. They will bring Douglas Wilson back for 1. And then the big one is the 6'4 freshman from T, South Dakota, and that's Noah Friedel, who the last couple, you know, weeks of the season looked like a future first-team All-Summit League guy. It's wild down there in Brookings. Every time you think you've got the Jacks in a situation where they're going to have a couple down years, you know, once after Walters left and then once after Dom left, some new gunner just kind of slips his way into that South Dakota State program. But we'll deal with that, you know, kind of moving forward. And then Monday's game came. And that, Nate, I don't think you could possibly script any better. You get the, you know, historically the school's biggest rival. They're, easiest, the basketball rivalry is with South Dakota State, and there's no question about that. I think they've split every I don't think anybody that isn't NDSU or SDSU has won the Summit League tournament in like 8 or 9 years. But this is a group in UND that took something from NDSU in Grand Forks on a last second fadeaway three by Marlon Stewart. And so for this team with these guys to play, in my opinion, their best game of the season, either this one or the one against Omaha at home, but for them to play their best game of the season and set a record for biggest ass kicking in the history of the Summit League tournament final was pretty great.
Yeah, I know coaches talk about, I know Richmond talked about in press conferences this year on how coaches want their team to play that perfect game. And I think this was as close to perfect as you could possibly play. I mean, they shot the ball well from the perimeter. They completely locked them down defensively. They locked down a player who completely took over a game and beat you on his senior day on their home court to keep you from winning the outright title. I mean, it was 13-0, and it never was close. Like, it was from start to finish completely dominating, and I don't think they could have asked for a better performance. Turns out it's going to be their last game, and what a way to end the season, I guess you could say. And I mean, I don't know if they hit more threes in a game than that game or shot a higher percentage, but it had to be close to their season high there. And then holding a team, I think they ended with 53 points. I mean, that just, it kind of summarizes their year. I mean, they were the top defensive team in the Summit League, and they really put the clamps down in that championship game.
They did. It was incredible the way they shot the ball, the way they came out and defended. I thought that Richmond's adjustments on how to guard Marlon Stewart were exceptional. They threw different bodies at him. I think Griesel opened up the game, and then it was Samuelson, but Samuelson with a little bit of help. They played phenomenal team defense, made guys try to hit long shots like a Keenan Walter or – Deshaun Allen Eikens actually had a great game, but a lot of that came in junk time. And so much of that game was junk time. I mean, you get to 21-2, in 2K, we'd be saying pass the sticks. they'd be restarting the game for the next guy. That was just absolutely unbelievable. And such a cool ending, I think, to that story for those kids to be up on that stage to cut down those nets. But more of a celebration, I felt like, because everybody kind of knew at halftime how this thing was going to go. Then everyone just kind of spent the next half celebrating. And you got the great moment when Odell Wilson goes in for an and one and the entire bench freaks out. You got to see Coach Richmond, who's accused of not having a good enough time. You got to see Coach Richmond smile a little bit and really take the moment in and really put to bed any notion that North Dakota was a comparable team. I mean, they just absolutely smashed UND, and I think really solidified the fact that they were the best team in the conference all year long. They were the preseason number one. They were the number one seed coming into the tournament, and they won the tournament. And you can give me all the ifs, ands, and buts about Douglas Wilson and his injury, and I just can't find the time to care. The way that they played basketball on Tuesday night, I don't care if it was Douglas Wilson. I don't care if it was South Dakota State. I don't care if it was a lot of teams. They played like one of the better 40, 50, 60 teams in the entire country on Tuesday. And as Richmond said, it didn't really matter if it was UND. It didn't matter who they were going up against on Tuesday, specifically not from the Summit League. They were pretty much going to smash whoever it was right in the face.
Yeah, they just had that swagger about them from the start of the game. And those seniors, I mean, Vinny and Tyson weren't going to let it happen. And they just completely dominated the game. And what a way to go out. I mean, they get to celebrate and look back on this as an unbelievable memory. I mean, two straight Summit championships to end your career. And hopefully it makes the guys coming back next year even hungrier to win that Summit title so that they do get a crack at that NCAA tournament and pulling that big time upset that we're kind of all waiting for as Bison fans again, because that was a lot of fun when it happened against Oklahoma. It was even fun last year in the play-in game, and it was pretty unreal to watch that team on national TV take on Duke and play with them for a half. And you got probably over a million viewers watching that. And what exposure that they gave to their school. And they're going to look back. It's sad now, but they're going to look back on it maybe even next year, who knows how soon, and just be super proud of what they accomplished, because we all get to see it right now and we're all proud of what they did.
Extremely proud. And Nate, you can kind of take a little break here, because I'm going to get up on a soapbox specifically for three guys. The first is Coach Richmond. I just, even some of the comments after you said something about his contract situation, and yet and still there are people that aren't convinced that he's the guy for this program. And I really struggle with that. I don't understand it. It just truly means you don't understand the game. You don't understand how difficult mid-major basketball is. You don't understand what you're watching. You're listening to other people. I've read still comments. They don't run about running the dribble weave. They don't run the dribble weave. They haven't for three full seasons. You need to, the idea that he doesn't make in-game adjustments is absurd. The way that he completely changed their game plan in the second half of that East Tennessee State game. And I could go on and on and on about times that he has changed the way they defended ball screens mid game, changed the way that, you know, just flat out gone small, even against bigger teams, which he did, by the way, against Oral Roberts to get that win on Saturday. The guy is 12-3 in Sioux Falls. He's 12-3 in the Summit League tournament. He's the winningest coach since he took over in the Summit League. No other Summit League coach has won more games than him. He has appeared in the Summit League championship game four of the six times he's been eligible, and he's won three of them. The idea that David Richmond is not the best possible coach for this program is just asinine. He hasn't won a Power Five game yet. Okay, let me just break this one down for you. That East Tennessee State game was just as big of a win as the Notre Dame win was in 2013-14. In fact, I would guess that if you, and I'm not going to take the time to do this because it's an audio medium, but I would guess that if you went back and looked, Notre Dame did not finish with a BPI or an RPI. They didn't have net rankings at that time, but I would guess BPI and RPI were not as high as East Tennessee State, who would have been a 10 seed and would have been a 10 seed and would have been an at-large had they not won their conference tournament, which they did comfortably. And Richmond and his crew, without a starter, smacked them. You know, absolutely smacked East Tennessee State. He did have a signature win this year. I just don't think people understand it. But you look at a program now, as I've mentioned, 12-3 in the Summit League tournament under his watch. The first back-to-back Summit League tournament winner in NDSU history. And a guy that has gone at least to the title game four of the six opportunities that he had. And you know, one where the starting point guard as the two seed, the starting point guard rolls his ankle 2 days before the tournament, and they don't make it out of the 2-7 game. I can't deal with it. If you don't think he should be the coach now, you're just an idiot. I cannot help you. And I'm sorry if that's harsh, but it's a simple reality. And frankly, the NDSU administration, Matt Larson, the athletic director, the athletic department in general, it's time to make a longer commitment to Coach Richmond for the future of the program before somebody else makes that decision for you and you've got to replace a phenomenal head coach. The other two guys I really want to chat about are Vinny Shaheed and Tyson Ward. Vinny, I've mentioned this to you privately, but I wanted to say it on the show. You deserve just as much credit as anybody else for reviving Bison basketball after the Kai Cabela situation, after the 16-18 year, after starting last year 2-7. Your ability to put that alpha dog mentality into this program, into this team, and really hit that shot at Fort Wayne, carry that club into the Summit League tournament where you went absolutely bananas, and then to keep this crew together for another year and another run and a first team all Summit performance all year long, and then a MVP performance in Sioux Falls. I really think, not necessarily that he saved Bison basketball, because I don't think it was in that big of trouble, but he turned the ship around. Vinny did. And his legacy, I think, will really be turning the ship around. And Tyson Ward, I think later on in the week, I'm going to probably drop Tyson and I's first phone call. And we did a phone interview on Bison Report Radio back in the spring of whenever the heck he committed to North Dakota State, because they got him late. And he and I did a phone interview on Bison Report Radio. It's probably the fifth or sixth episode of the entire podcast. And the 22-year-old man that finished off UND on Tuesday by, you know, showing another part of his game with the 3-point shot and really just tearing those guys to pieces. The 22-year-old man that I know is so different than the 18-year-old guy that came into campus and, you know, he even made light of it today on Twitter, the way that he gave the coaching staff troubles. And hey, you know, he had to sit a couple games for some disciplinary stuff and he had to grow up as a man and as a player. And the kid that he became and the player that he became, what a revolution, what an evolution, and what a just a phenomenal career at North Dakota State. Nate, you got anything else before we head out?
Give Dave Richmond his lifetime contract. He wants to be there. Double his salary and tell him as long as he doesn't go, we'll double your salary. You can be a Bison for life. And he will stay there. Okay. He loves it there. He's going to continue to get good high school kids. He's going to get great kids to build a great culture that'll make Bison fans proud. And he's going to keep a staff that's going to develop those kids. Just let him do his thing. He's been around for a while now. He knows how to develop a program to win at the mid-major level. No, you're not going to beat a high major team every single season. You're not going to get signature wins every single season. But he's going to have a team that competes for Summit titles every year. And it sure is fun watching that team in Sioux Falls. And it sure is fun watching them cut down the nets and see their name called on Selection Sunday and playing a team like Duke during March Madness, the best week of the year in my eyes, because I'm a big basketball fan. So let's stay on the positive end with him, and he's a great coach. He's going to continue to build that program, and it's in good hands as long as he's there.
Absolutely. And as I mentioned, you know, we're getting towards the end of our time here. So Nate and I will break down the future of the Summit League, and we'll kind of even give you guys a way too early preview of next year's Bison Club. We'll do that pretty soon, but right now we've got kind of a full show in the books, so we'll move on. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you to our sponsor, Rise Training and Fitness out of Moorhead, Minnesota. I know it's going to be a tough day, a tough week, and a tough March, but go Bison.